The scripture reading this evening will come from the book of John, John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Good evening, everybody. David and Susan were headed up to take care of her dad. So I told David I would take care of things tonight. So, we've been talking about abide with me quite a bit lately in different contexts. In the context of bearing fruit, in the context of prayer. And sometimes I think some of the things that we look at, we don't understand the complete importance of a concept. And I think the concept of abide with me is probably more important now than it's ever been for us. And the direction I'm going in with this, if we look out in the world right now, there's a lot of turmoil out there. If you go on social media and you say, this is green, somebody will pile on and say, no, it's red. Our country is divided in opinions about everything. There's anger. There's folks who are frustrated with the economy on one end and folks on the other end who think it's the greatest thing since apple pie. There's a world of hurt out there. And sometimes when we watch the news, we get caught up in it. Or sometimes when we look at our social media feeds, we get caught up in it. Or sometimes when there's conversations with our coworkers or with family, you know, we all look like we survived Thanksgiving. You know, you sit down with that certain relative at Thanksgiving and they say something and, you know, there's the lady who made all the food saying, well, let's talk about this instead, right? It's just a lot of turmoil. And we don't focus on the right things. Now, I am not telling you tonight to just say, well, there's no problems and I can go do what I want to do. Or I'll just ignore that. That's not what I'm telling you to do. We're told to overcome evil with good. And if we can't focus on the right things, it's going to be very difficult for us to do that. And so the idea of abide with me, in my mind, is one which tells us we need to be focused on God, His will, His plan, His meaning to our life, to help us to overcome this world, to help us to conquer those things which are causing us pain and frustration. So I want to go over to Psalms chapter 46 for a moment. And the title I have for this is God, the Refuge of His People. And I think you're reading a psalm when we go through this that talks about how the people needed to understand how important God was to their life. And it helped them to overcome. So let's go over there. Psalms 46, verse 1 and following. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Do we believe that? Or is that just nice words? Was that just for the Israelites? Or is that for us today? If there's trouble in the world, do we believe that God is a very present help? Verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. If God is a present help in our trouble, we will not fear. And there's a lot of voices out there that are pulling us towards fear. Are we listening to the voice of God? Are we abiding with Him? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. That sounds pretty amazing to me. Earthquakes and waters roaring, and I don't know, anybody watch a movie where there's a big tidal wave that comes in and wipes out the East Coast? It's pretty amazing, right? I don't care if it's that big. We're not going to turn from God. That's what's being said here. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in its midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease, to end, to end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. Some translations say, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. How can we read something like this and not understand what's important? How can we read something like this and not take hope? How can we read something like this and not want to cling to the one that it's talking about? We've read the stories in the Old Testament about the mighty things that God has done. The flooding of the earth, the rainbow in the sky, the 10 plagues, the prophets of Baal against Elijah, and the fire coming down from heaven. We've read those things. We've read things about Jesus healing people, raising people from the dead, Him being raised up from the dead to walk. We read these things, and our modern world tells us to scoff, or tells us, well, that just doesn't, you know, okay, that's an old story. But if we walk with God, we believe these things, and we believe that He has the power to do things in our life. At minimum, He has the power to keep our souls in His hands and protect us and to deliver eternal life to us. We know that He's the one who ends wars. There's not going to be war in heaven. It's done. It's going to be a perfect place. All right, so let's go back over to John chapter 15 for a moment. Appreciate Josh reading that. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus' own teaching in this passage is the concept of continual dependence upon God. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We tap in to God through Christ, the vine. We get our blessings, we get our source of comfort and peace, we get our eternal life, we get these fruits that are read about in the scriptures. We get all that because we're with God, with Christ. And these things are important for us. How many people get frustrated with their earthly success and think they've accomplished nothing? Can they look to their relationship with God and understand that He's the vine, He's the source, and that He's the one who grants us those blessings? So He teaches us about continual dependence. Abide in me and I in you. We have to depend upon Him. And I think sometimes we have forgotten that our dependence is upon Him. You know, we're a wealthy nation. Even people who feel poor understand that we have it better off than some other nations. Do we claim credit for that on our own? Or do we claim credit for that because God has blessed us? If you have a life, period, who gave you that life? God gave you that life. We are totally dependent upon Him. The branch doesn't try to produce fruit. It stays connected and fruit happens. I'm not a farmer, but I know if you keep the plant healthy, eventually the fruit comes around, right? Where'd that come from? Are you going to get grapes in a vineyard if you just hang one of the little branches over a string? No, if it's not tied into the vine, you're not getting anything, right? My tomatoes aren't going to do anything in the summertime if they're not connected to the vine that goes into the pot. I don't get that many tomatoes anyway, but at least the ones I get, they come from being attached to the vine. So we have to keep our spiritual life rooted in Christ. How do we do that? We have to let His words remain in us. Jesus ties abiding directly to Scripture, shaping our inner thought, our inner world. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If we go down to verse 7, that's what it says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. His word has to be in us. What's that mean? You know, blessedly, Karen and I have been married over 40 years now. I think I understand her a little bit better now than I did after we were married for 3 weeks. Because I know what she likes. And I know what she doesn't like. I really know what she doesn't like. Okay. I know what she'll think about most things. And she knows how I think about things. We can actually sit on a couch in a room and not say a word to one another, but know that we're both loved. And know that we take comfort in that relationship. Do you let God's word be in you? Do you know what God thinks about things? Do you know how He might react to something? Do you know what He calls us to? We have to let His words remain in us. That's how He communicates to us. We do that by meditating on His teaching, by letting Scripture correct and comfort and guide us, by allowing His truth to become our default lens for life. His truth. God, I want it this way. Wouldn't it be great? God, can you just do this instead? Well, what did I say? You know, my grandkid wants something that might not be so good for them. And I tell them, no, we're not going to do that. Eventually, they understand that's not safe. Or at least if they don't, they're protected. But they start knowing things. And they start understanding. Do we do that with God? Do we start knowing things and understanding? We have to let His words remain in us. We have to be prayerful. Abiding is relational, not mechanical. Ooh, man, that sounds fuzzy, Alan. Ugh. The Bible describes our relationship with God, our fellowship with God. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. What's it say? Pray without ceasing. We're instructed in other places not to use vain repetitions. We go to God and we ask Him from our heart what we need. We tell Him our struggles. We tell Him our problems. You know, I don't know how He's going to fix that. I know how I'd like Him to fix it. And sometimes He says, you know what? I'm not going to intervene. You keep being faithful and it'll get resolved. But we need to be continually in prayer and talking to Him and telling Him our needs. Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. You know, when Archie's in Bible class on Sunday morning and he's asking some of these questions about prayer from our book, there's some pretty deep thoughts there. There's some things I hadn't thought of before. I don't know how to respond sometimes. And when we think about those and meditate, go back to the last point, we meditate on His Word, and then we come out and we say we're going to continue to pray and talk to God. We understand that we have an open and honest conversation with God. We understand that He knows our hearts and that He's going to try to help us out. We know that we need to obey His commands if we want to abide in Him. Especially to love. I appreciated Mickey telling us last week about how it's important for us to get to know other people. I wasn't evaluating who was sitting with who today, but I'm sure he was. Right? And what was the point of that? Was the point of that to be seen sitting with somebody else? No. The point of that was to be seen interacting and getting to know somebody else, to express interest, to show love and build a relationship with them, to find out what their needs are. We need to obey His commands. Jesus makes obedience a central expression of abiding. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, John 15:10. This is my commandment, that you love one another, John 15:12. Are these idle commandments? I think they're every bit as important as being our commandment to be baptized. What's the point of being baptized to rise to walk in newness of life if you don't love people and walk in newness of life? What's the point? We need to continue to love and continue to obey His commands. Abiding is shown through obedience. Obedience is shown through love. Love is shown through action. This isn't legalism. It's in alignment with Christ and what He wants us to do and the teachings that He has. You know, of all the ideas tonight, that's the fuzziest, it's this one. Walk by the Spirit. Paul describes abiding in Christ using different language, walking in the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, according to Galatians 5:16. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. How do we do that? We yield to the Spirit's prompting. How does that happen? Guess what? We go back to read what He says. We go back to meditating on His Word. And those things convict our heart and cause us to question what we're doing, to make sure that we're in alignment with God's Word. We resist the flesh. You know, today is the 18th. We're past the day when most people have already blown their resolutions, and they just say, well, next year, right? Maybe they weren't resisting the flesh quite as much as they should. Maybe they weren't understanding, hey, we can get back on the wagon, right? Resist the flesh for whatever need that you have. Do what the Spirit calls you to do. Let the Spirit produce love, joy, peace, all those fruits within you. This is the New Testament's practical engine for abiding. We need to remain steadfast in the faith. Abiding means holding fast to Christ, especially when He shakes you. Continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, Colossians 1:23. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you, 1 John 2:24. What did you hear from the beginning? I hope you heard a good dose of God loves you and that He wants you to be part of His family and that He wants you to have an abundant life. I hope that you heard that you can be rescued from this world and that you can be, again, part of His family. Do you remember those things? Do you take biblical direction? Don't drift. Sometimes we get frustrated with things and we just kind of fade away. Have you ever heard of somebody say, you know, I just don't feel close to God anymore? Well, who moved? God didn't move. Don't drift. Keep your eye. Be like Luke Skywalker. Stay on target. Okay. Keep your eye on where you're supposed to be going. Keep trusting. Stay anchored in the gospel that you received. If we're going to abide in Him, we need to live in the awareness of His love. John emphasizes that abiding is rooted in receiving God's love. We love because He first loved us. Does everybody understand that God loves us? What does Satan try to do? He tries to tell us that you're not worthy. He tries to tell us that your life would be better if you pursued your own vain pursuits. He tries to pull us away. He doesn't want us abiding in Him. But we need to live in the awareness of God's love. We need to understand that He loved us first. And that's why we love, because what was shown to us. We need to understand that whoever abides in love abides in God, 1 John 4:16. It's very easy to be tempted by not abiding in love. You know, when you're at the grocery store and the kid's bagging your groceries and he puts the eggs on the bottom of the bag and then throws the cans on top, do you feel love towards that guy? Who do you think is causing you not to feel that way? Are you abiding in Him? Are you going to show grace and love to that person? Because that's what was shown to you and me. Let His love be the atmosphere you breathe, not a concept that you visit occasionally. Is it easier to be a Christian when there's other Christians around? I think it is. Why? Because you realize that that other Christian has expectations. Can you take it a step further? Is it easier to be a Christian when God is around? When is God not around? God has expectations. Can we act like His people when we're out in the world? So, abiding in Christ is not a single action. It's a way of life. It's who we are. You know, you hear about football players saying, you know, this isn't my job, it's my way of life, it's who I am. Okay, well, when you're 35 and you're out of the league, I don't know if that's who you are anymore. But as a Christian, that's who we are. From the day that we rise to walk in newness of life till the day the trumpet blows. We need to understand it's not just a single action. And we're going to be stronger with some of these things and weaker with some of these things. But we always need to strive to abide. Stay connected to God. Let His words shape you. Walk in prayer. Obey in love. Follow the Spirit. Remain steadfast and rest in His love. Abiding in Him is relational, continual, and transformative. You are not going to be the same Christian 30 years from now that you are today. Hopefully you will mature and grow as long as you continue to put that relationship with Christ number one in your life. This evening, if you haven't put on Christ and you need to, we want to assist you. We'd love to baptize you into Christ after hearing your confession. We'd love to help you rise to walk in newness of life, having all your sins washed away. And if we can help you with that, we're here to do that. If you're struggling to walk in the Lord, to abide, and you want the prayers of the congregation, we're here for you. We love you. It's been said from this pulpit many times, this is one of the most loving congregations. People do love you and want to help out. Please come while we stand and sing.